GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. Mikey Stafford here. I'm joined by Enda McGinley, former Tyrone midfielder and RTE analyst, and by Niall McCoy, happy Armagh fan. I think it's probably how you'd best like to be described today. First questions first. Niall, how's your head?
Not too bad, Mikey. Not too bad. Pure exhaustion more than anything. I was trying to be the young fella and went on the hill yesterday, and about 2 minutes in, I was just thinking, I'm too old for this. I am too old for this. From minute one. So I was leaving Croke Park and I was just drained. Just absolutely drained. I almost can party, to be fair. But incredible day. Unbelievable. Like, just the scenes and back in the Carrick day last night. And I was up there this morning and the team were around and there was hundreds of kids in getting photos with the boys and all. It's just magical, really, to be fair. And fair play to them. Like, just an incredible story.
Amazing. And Niall is our high behind cameraman then for this. He can give us all the analysis from behind, you know, that behind the goal perspective he had, which is, you know, always good to have.
Is it the wrong side of the goal to clear up the big one about Stephen Campbell's pass or not? I think that's
yeah, I was at the other end. I know that I was at the front too, because so I could see very little, but listen, he's always going to claim the assist on that one.
Absolutely. I think it did look like he took a glance to his right before he hand passed it. Am I being too generous, Enda, do you think? Or
look, I didn't see the eye line move. And again, if they've done something like that in training, in terms of you're down there, just get it across. Like, just get it across. It was that far off a point, although it was on a left-handed fist pass and coming in at that speed, at that you could get it wrong by that margin, but it was that far off a point is the only thing that I'd be hesitant of saying that it wasn't a point effort. But from me, it would be one hell of a no look pass. But look, as I say, he's had some season. Like, it'll be really interesting. I think he would merit. I know he didn't make our team of the year last night on the Sunday game, but there was certainly some people had been suggesting him, and I think he'll be pretty close to an all-star now, to be honest, given the impact that he had. Like, Armagh would not be All-Ireland champions without Soupy Campbell. He'd be one of
first
the
impact sub to get
players.
An all-star, would he be? Yeah.
And he's a big Liverpool fan, so he like that no luck Bobby Firmino comparison there. He'll be loving that. But they do a lot of work in house on fisting off both hands, weak and strong. And I think he could be stronger off left. And I seen he said that if he had known it was Aaron McKay coming, he wouldn't have passed. So that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Aaron's second ever scoring the championship. The first was on his debut, and to be fair, I thought he came away with a nosebleed being up that high.
Yeah, he's a clubmate of yours now, isn't he?
He's what, sorry?
He's a clubmate of yours.
He is. And listen, I think I spoke to Enda about this earlier in the year. I think he's been sensational this year. Probably doesn't have the profile outside Armagh and Ulster, maybe for...
Well, he didn't
praise,
until yesterday.
Until, he barely ripped the script up on that. But listen, he's so important to structure that defence in terms of communication, positioning and all that sort of stuff. And I think he's been unbelievable. I really think he's had, for a couple of years now, I think he's been superb. But I think this year he just took it to new heights. And obviously, he doesn't get much better than scoring a winning goal. Like, you know, just amazing. And lovely. Like, people were asking me why he wore the number 6 out the thing. It was a tribute to his friend who died a couple of years ago in an accident. And he had PH written on it, which was just a lovely touch. And I would do a lot behind stuff that maybe people wouldn't know about, and just a great lad, like, and just absolutely delighted for him as a Drumity man, but as an Armagh man first and foremost.
Right. By the way, I'm here because Jackie is on her way to Paris and Rory isn't here because he's busy producing the Olympics TV offering as well. Those two are operating under the idea that Paris is the center of the sporting world, but I think we all know it was Carrick Dale for the last 24 hours. Niall, just before we get onto the match, paint us a picture of what it was like there last night.
I was coming up the road and there's the big screens were saying the Junction 20's closed. I was like, this isn't good. And we hadn't even reached Dundalk at that stage. So I had to go cross country to get there. But I have to say, it was really well organized and shuttle buses to the big stage. And there was marquees left, right and center, different parts of it. And just, I couldn't believe it. The weather was unreal. So it was just one of those lovely nights where everyone could stand outside and just everyone just had a smile on their face. And obviously the banquet was on too. And just amazing, Mikey. Just amazing. And
The whole year feels like that. It's like the usual thing up north. You sort of wonder, always wondering what side of the house has got on. Like, and it was always a rainy, rainy summer. And then July the 12th would come along, the marching day up here, and the sun would split the stones. And you think, geez, maybe the big man is on the Orange Man's side. But I have a feeling this year he was definitely on Armagh's side.
I think so.
And there was a mind, was it a commentator said in the Liverpool Champions League final in 05, he just exclaimed, name on the trophy.
Yeah.
And it just, and that was, like, I spoke to, obviously we were all speaking to loads coming into the week, and who do you think, and nobody could split it, and look, the match turned out like that too. There was so little between the teams as could have been easily predicted. You could make arguments for either side, and for me, goal in terms of the personnel on the pitch, if you were really looking at it, and you were sort of thinking there's that unknown commodity. Are you going to get games out of Comer and Walsh? Yeah. Is Sean Kelly fit for something? And if any of those three were bringing more to the party, then you thought, okay, well, that's Galway. And the one thing was, the two things that I thought bounced it back in Armagh's favour was that sense. A, their bench coming down the straight. If it was narrow, you felt their bench had more than Galway. And then B, that just sense, Armagh, it's, feels like the storyline, the arc, the year is for Armagh, that after so many near misses of all the things they're going to end up winning is going to be the whole thing. And it was truly remarkable. So they became a force of nature. The Kerry win was massive for them. Like, that removed so many monkeys off their back. The county went into hype mode. I thought McGeaney played it brilliantly. Like, he doesn't do anything by accident. Exceptionally well read, exceptionally deep thinking. He does nothing by accident. And the fact that he came out and there was more personality, there was more interviews done, there was a lightness of touch about the whole Armagh camp that was absent, to be honest, in the teams that I played against back in the day. There was a lightness of touch about them. And that was obviously a active decision by McGeaney. And just like, obviously, so many other things, he nailed it. And the boys turned up and produced such a solid performance yesterday, and crucially coming down the straight, they had all that hurt to drive them on and saying not today, and it was a refusal to be beat.
And that's high end sport, like, and you know that end of playing. Like, if Dylan McHugh's point goes over and Galway wins, suddenly McGeaney's in the firing line again. And I've always thought of that when all the criticisms were coming, like, these matches, those shootouts, they're narrow margin, the finest of margins, that wee bit of, and McGeaney maybe was a wee bit unlucky in those moments, even going back to Sawfree, Dublin got against Kildare in the Leinster final, you know, Callum King pushing that semi-final thing onto the crossbar. It's just, when people get so critical or praiseworthy, it's just amazing how small the margins are. Like, it's just getting ridiculous. Like,
even the match ratings, you win a match by a point or you lose a match by a point, and there's this massive difference in the match rating suddenly. and that sort of goes across everything we do. Like, even coming home, so we were in the taxi from the ground then over to the studios yesterday, and you were, okay, we were discussing, you were trying to, okay, what are we going to look at? What is showing why Armagh won? There's nothing there, if you know what I mean. You can't point, oh, they've done a thing on kickouts, they've done this, or they've done... Galway didn't take their chances. Armagh were more efficient, and Armagh stood it out at the end. Armagh probably held their nerve better than what Galway did, having got their nose in front. And really, that, and Galway look did desert Galway, but Armagh has been there plenty of times before. And to a certain extent, you make your own luck, but you still need a wee bit of luck.
Yeah, you do. But it has to be said, Niall, and I think I know what your opinion on this will be, but I'll ask you anyway. You know, a lot of the analysis afterwards was that, you know, Galway's forwards didn't turn up, which is a little harsh on Paul Conroy, Keane Darcy and John Maher are kind of the midfield trifecta, but they're still attacking players. Nobody can fault them, but it was, you know, the inside forward line, partly through injury, partly through lack of fitness, partly through just having off days. So how much credit are you giving the Armagh backline for shutting down Galway, or was it a case of just like the number of games and the illnesses and injuries caught up on Galway? Which way do you look
at it? It'd be churlish to say that they weren't firing those Comer and Walsh at a full pelt, although that Walsh kick early was still phenomenal. But I'm going to give Armagh a massive defence. Their structure, but the main thing for me this year, and I think it's been an accusation that's always been held over them, that they're quite forceful in their tackling at times, and they seem to, for years, they seem to come in a bit heavy with their tackling, give away a stupid freeze. They're so, this year, they have been so disciplined in their tackling. Even the free, it was McKay giving away actually against Galway in the group game, was very, very harsh. There's a couple of frees, yes, that were borderline harsh. They're being really, really disciplined. And that's something I think people thought were beyond them. But whatever's happened, they've really sort of cleaned that up. And they didn't give away many scoring frees across the season inside that 45-metre zone. Now, right enough, Shane Walsh, that he probably should have had a couple of frees over the bar, but just wasn't his day. I give the massive credit, Mikey. I thought the work rate, Andrew Murnan's had, you know, he struggled to get in the games a wee bit, or they haven't used him, but just the tracking back. And on the last play, Arshin O'Neill, like, the way he stood the man up and just sort of forced him back, it would be so easy just to give away a free. Just put that wee hand in that gives the referee the chance to put it over the bar. And I thought the ref was very good yesterday, by the way. But just the free, and it was just in those pressure moments, they really kept their discipline in the tackling. There were three or four examples in the last 2 or 3 minutes where it would be very easy for a free to be pinged, and they just stood their way. They were strong and aggressive, but they didn't go over the line. And that ultimately won them.
Thought Paul Conroy, maybe that very last attack where he turned to shoot, he had a wee bit of
he rushed it. It was very un-Paul Conroy-like, wasn't it? He rushed the shot. He's not used to shooting from that close to goal.
I think he had enough momentum there to try and take on a man, take a bit of contact. Yeah. And I think if he had have made a 40% chance of a free, I think he would have got it, you know. But
I obviously was very late home last night, so I haven't seen too much. I've seen bits and pieces. But if you look at if you pause where he takes the shot, right, there's a goal, I don't know, was this picked up, and there was a Galway 2-on-1 at the back post. And I think that just gets into Conroy's eye line at the very last second. And I think, I don't know if that maybe impacts on his shot, because he comes through the ball quite funny. It was quite unusual. And if you go back and look at it, if that pings over to the right, it's a near certain goal, because there was a 2-on-1 in the back. The Armagh defence, a couple of defenders had moved out to the 21, and I think it might have been Paddy Burns in there, 2-on-1 at the back post. And I think Conroy, that might have just caught his eye at the very last split second, and maybe got sort of caught between two minds, because it was a bit of an unusual kick for someone who's...
Greatest block in an All-Ireland final ever. Enda, would you say that one?
Come away with that now. Come on now. That's just...
It was a good block though by Joe McIlwain.
It was a fine effort. For me, I suppose, getting into the nitty gritty, there was so much talk before the game of kickouts, and where I was saying the analysis, like, it really struggles to try and pick up any particular differences. And even on kickouts, Armagh had 82% on their kickout and Galway had 89% on theirs. Armagh scored 1-6 off their kickout, Galway 0-7. So again, at the broad thing, there's not much, but it's funny, as an analyst, you're sort of back over, you never actually get a chance to rewatch the game before you start picking your highlights. So you're only going on live, and sort of rewatched the first half there this morning already. And I felt it in the game at the time. Armagh were getting their, which they're pretty good at, getting their shorts up the pitch very rapidly. Actually, there was three shorts they hit off in the first half, and they had shots off within 30 seconds. Now, Galway give them the shorts. If you're giving a team a short, there is no way they should be getting an easy shooting opportunity to your posts within 30 seconds. Now, Niall Grimley's was blocked down, but the other two were scores. So that to me is, okay, what were Galway? And for me, now, Galway had three men up, but Armagh were overloading on up, and Galway weren't really chasing in hard. So it was like they were caught in two minds. they showed at the end in the latter stage of the game where they really went in a full press and forced Armagh to kick it long. When Armagh went long, they didn't score any off long kickouts. Armagh, they won three of them but scored nothing. Galway won two of Armagh's and scored points off them. Galway in the semi-final against Donegal, I think they had 14 longs. I think nearly all went long. They conceded none off them, scored 5-6 points, and retained something like 90% of the long kickouts. So long kickouts was Galway's A game. Yesterday, I think out of maybe some, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but maybe out of 17-18 kickouts, they went short 14 of them and hit long 5 times. So Armagh dropped off, offered the short, and Galway took it. That meant Galway were playing that element of the game on Armagh's terms. And then they weren't getting as free a shooting opportunity because you get better shooting opportunities off long kickouts. And that has been Galway's game all year. And yet yesterday, for the first time all year, they had 2/3 of their kickouts went short and only 1/3 long. And I think Park Joyce, looking back in it, and especially that final phase when they really pushed the Armagh kickout and forced Armagh to kick it out long, that's playing, and that's where Galway's strength are. And their middlemen all played well yesterday. Their inside men obviously were struggling, but their middlemen were strong. So I think they might feel that they could have just been out and just go long and refuse to take the Armagh bait of hitting short.
Yeah. I think I appreciate Enda's point about how, like, trying to come up with how the match was won, Niall, and you're struggling for, because when you say that, like, from Liam Silk through the three midfielders, you know, for Galway, they were very strong around the middle of the field. And usually, if you're strong around the middle of the field, you know, you should be, and you're creating chances, you should win a match. So, like, it, you know.
Well, they created far more chances. They created far more shots. And it wasn't then, you were sort of looking, okay, the more shots, well, maybe the shots were from a poor area. So you looked at the shot maps. Shot maps were identical both sides. Armagh, like Niall Grimley's shot was under massive pressure. Oisin O'Neill's shot, Rian O'Neill's shot. Like, they're all low percentage scores. The goal, the fist pass will not go there again. You know, so, and so there's just that sense that Armagh, and you could then, were they more relaxed coming into it? Was there almost less pressure on them? Galway, whenever people were saying, Galway have lost one, they'll come now more. Whenever I was thinking about it, we were lucky. I never lost one. The thought of losing one, coming back to the next one, you'd be so pent up. There's more pressure on you almost to go and win it. And maybe that was behind Galway. The Galway looked a tenser, more nervous side. And then whenever it wasn't quite flowing for them, that really started to up the ante, and it got worse as the game went on.
Yeah. And what was your sense, Niall, say, at kind of halftime? It was level, as we probably all predicted it would be. Were you thinking Armagh playing well here? They're in this, or were you thinking, you know, Jesus, Galway, if they were putting away these chances, we'd be in trouble? What was the general mood on the hill there?
Yeah, the only thing I was fearful of was Galway coming out in the first quarter and really going to town, because I said all week, the only thing, if Armagh were in 2 or 3 points coming down the stretch with that bench coming on, I think Galway's going to be and playing their mind. So I thought they would have went for broke a wee bit more in the early stages. But yeah, I thought, listen, what have they played now? 5 times or something in the last 3 years, 4 or 5 times, and there's been a piece of paper between them, basically. It's
a couple of 3 points, is it, across?
Something like that. It's crazy. Like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, and it's right there. We all hear about this middle eight, and when you're middle eight plays well in the modern game, you win. But scored 12 scores, yes, and had 9 different scores. Their top scorer didn't score. Connor Turbitt should have scored a free. Joe McGuinn.
Only 2 forwards scored. Like, Armagh got less scores from their forwards than Galway did.
Mm. Yeah. And every Armagh score from play too, which is unusual. Like, but and I was looking for the goal behind McKay. The next man coming in was Barry McCambridge. So they just developed this sort of system where boys can score from all over. And it's where Galway, it was all going into the finals. Like, if Walsh and Comer are fire, it's very, and I felt the exact same. I felt if they were even up at 80%, I felt Armagh would get squeezed out, because I love this Galway team. I think they're so, so good in all aspects. But Armagh, probably there was no the fact that Turbitt can have such a poor game, he's been brilliant, and it doesn't really impact them too much, speaks probably about a more assured responsibility where there was that sort of feeling of Walsh and Comer. So at half time, I was feeling pretty good about how they're performing in those two, but also very obviously worried that they can turn into a blink of an eye. And as I say, when Walsh kicked that score over early in the second half, I was getting a wee bit sort of nervous. Like, if this,
yeah, you're thinking he might be heating up. Yeah.
And there was, as always, Crowbar, there was a tricky enough wee breeze that goes different angles. And some of those frees where they might look a wee bit easier on TV, like down there they are, it's tricky. Like, and notice more than most, like, ground to play on when there's any sort of breeze. It's an unnatural breeze sometimes. Crow Park can go all sort of directions, but
I found most grounds tricky to score into now, to be honest. It's our strange shape of posts, I blame them. I found them very narrow.
Before the match, pundits, they always say, you know, it could be, you know, it'll be a man you haven't suspected here now who could be winning the game. It'll be a minor character in the championship so far. And they listed off a few minor characters that they thought might win the match. And that he's so minor, Oisin Conaghy was not mentioned by anyone as the potential match winner, and he comes up with 3 points.
And that's key. In our era, and I was mentioning this in the thing yesterday when we were starting the initial debates on team of the year and all that. It is, and I mentioned it last night on the show, it's not a vintage year for top forwards. We know it's a very difficult era for top forwards, because when you put your head above the parapet, teams do a job on you and shut you down. It is no coincidence that Oisin Conaghy had a quiet, probably his poorest game of the year in the semi-final, one of his very, very few poor games of the year in the semi-final. And so his name wasn't up in lights in the Galway video analysis and in the Galway dressing room. They had other fires to address. Oisin was let a wee bit loose and he killed them. He was excellent yesterday. I think they then tightened it up on him, but he'd already done a bit of damage at that stage. But that's not uncommon. I remember 0-3 against Armagh, I think Hub Hughes was deemed not a threat from a throwing point of view, and he wouldn't have been obviously a big, and he got man of the match. So, and I remember, he's all ended up killing him. But it's so, Oisin took out yesterday, absolutely. He was quieter in the semi final, and we're just in that era. Whereas, like, if Oisin had of that game in the semi final, it is some ask to do that in the final, because the attention and the video analysis and your defenders and everybody else is on you. You are carrying a cowbell round your neck, and people don't forget about you. He was lost a couple of times yesterday, and I think that is a bit of a mistake, because I've seen Armagh several times this year, and I've been massively impressed with him in other games. So, the semi final was a strange one from Oisin, and he made up for it in the final.
Last week, Niall, we had a good bit of talk around Tony Kelly. He's finally, you know, people said he's a bit of a choker is an awful word, but you know, he's not a man who turns up on the big occasion. I think some people might have been saying that about Rian O'Neill over the last while, perhaps, or maybe just lack of form. He'd scored a typically phenomenal point. I was saying it watching the match. Those O'Neills, they don't score ordinary points. They all score, they're always cloud scrapers, the brothers. But Rian was like, he showed serious leadership there yesterday, I thought.
He did. And actually, I only seen his point there a few minutes ago. I didn't realise at the time how good it was. He kicked one very similar in the semi. It's just an amazing score. Yeah, and listen, he's played a really unselfish role this year at times too, in that sort of quarterback role. Pretty much, you know, he's been different places, but from the Derry match on, he sat a wee bit deeper. And I thought he was excellent that day, but he still gets through a mountain of work. When Paddy Burns got turned over in the second half and Galway looked, Rian makes a great defensive run back to cover the space. So, you know, there's people who said Rian's a flair player and all, and okay, I get it, he kicks spectacular and all. But I think this year, he's really been a real resolute team player.
You know, Simo caught that ball at the end of the semi-final, and you know,
and I still don't know how to smuggle that out. I've watched that clip 100 times. I'm still not sure what happened, but look, he still got the super point.
The man above was looking down on you. Okay, you need to keep remembering that and say your prayers for the entire winter. Now that's the only.
he really like. I think a lot of Armagh fans would like to have started the year maybe in full forward this year, quite a lot. You know, quite like it's a bit like the Michael Murphy debate maybe of that time, but like. Some of the work he done this year was exemplary back there. Just patching it all together. He forced a turnover in the corner. Now he fumbled it over the sideline, unfortunately. Like, but he's doing a lot of graft and giving up obviously a lot of his attacking flair at times to do that. So I thought he was excellent again. Yes, I thought he was obviously excellent in the thing in the semi final as well. So a really strong finish to the year for him, because there had been a few people saying maybe he's not hit the heights, but he's doing a different sort of role and.
But again, it is McGeaney's management, McGeaney's man management of this, McGeaney's ability to keep egos in check, keep everybody on that team bus, that gorgeous looking team bus. I have to say, the team bus
is
very impressive.
Yeah.
McGeaney's ability to handle rain, to mold that, because that has been molded, that has been a process. And well, if even 10% of the rumours are true, there was a number of maybe disagreements are falling out. Like it's one of the most common WhatsApp thing of whatever falling out is in the Armagh camp. But this has gone back several years. Like, so, but the boys kept coming back and they were there and he kept them all together. Like it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal management job by McGeaney. Like to even have the thickness of skin, although that probably wouldn't surprise, the thickness of skin to stay at it, the willpower to stay at it. But that personnel management to have the relationship to deal with, and he dealt with them boys harshly. He subbed Rain several times this year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it wasn't particularly pleasant coming off. You could sense an annoyance as Rain passed him and that, but he has them all in tow. So Rian is a perfect example. Blaine, you could go through that entire team. Like, there's very few of that entire team has not felt as if would have been at some stage feeling sorry for themselves. You know, that place where players maybe out to feel as if they're not in the manager's good books, or feel as if they're not getting the rub of the green in the manager's calls. There's very few of that team wouldn't have been in that position at some stage, but they've all held the course. And by God, they've got the results, the rewards now.
My next question to you, Enda, was going to be to ask you about Geezer, but you Tyrone, lads, you just can't stop praising Geezer. You love him. I don't even need to ask you to do it. It's I think you all secretly wish he was one of your own. There.
No, look, you absolutely, you, I get, look, it's respect. And isn't that, I suppose that's, I would imagine it would have been a fundamental thing about Geezer when he was playing. And you play the game, we all play the game, we're all linked with the game with respect. And I think certainly in punditry analysis, I think you always try to respect the players that are out there, because nobody aims to have a bad game. And the effort level and everything that it takes. And it's completely understandable players that do walk away, because you know it is a much more logical decision to walk away from these things, because it's not worth it. In the cold light of day, looking at it logically, so that belief dream was mentioned numerous times yesterday, but because they have stayed the course, they have now something so precious that you cannot take away, something you cannot buy, something you cannot get any other way. And it is different in other counties, in big counties like the Dublins and the Kerrys. Getting them is a more regular thing for Armagh players to believe that they can get there, to believe that they get, and to dedicate that amount of their lives to that, despite all the knockbacks. And that's why, for me, even as a Throne man, it is a phenomenal story, and the performance and the resilience of that team, the Niall Grimley story. There's just so many stories and personalities within that team that you just think you cannot begrudge them. And McGeaney's obviously at the head of that. But Donaghy, Gilligan, like McKeever, it's a brilliant coaching team. They've done things the right way, and it'll be... The brilliant thing is, every team will feel that they can be Armagh.
That was kind of where so, I wanted to
next year. We thought we had an open championship this year. I think next year will be even more so.
Yeah, because for those of you who don't know, Niall McCoy literally wrote the book on the 2002 All-Ireland. There's not many people who know more about it than him. Kings for Day, available in all good bookshops, Niall asked me to say. I think it would be fair to say in Armagh there's a feeling that that team should definitely have won another All-Ireland. There's probably a feeling outside Armagh that this team shouldn't have ever won an All-Ireland. No. So I'm not asking you to stop basking in the glory of yesterday by any means, but it is a natural question to ask is, can McGeaney build on this? Or is this, should this just be enjoyed as a one-off flash in the pan? Or that's not how McGeaney would view it, obviously.
No, it's not. And someone's asked me, do you think he'd stay on? If I is McGeaney, I'd be away in the sunset, say, good luck, lads. I have a medal, but that's why...
Back to Kildare, there's a challenge.
That's why he's an All-Ireland team and he'll probably get a statue built. But, I had a quick snoop at the betting for the 2025 Championship this morning, and Armagh are sixth in the betting, which speaks volumes.
If you're a man that keeps saying betting, when was the last time a longer odds team would have won it?
Cork in 2010?
No, Cork.
Cork were in a couple of semi-finals. Cork would have been the top four or five at that stage.
The last probably, Armagh probably were 6th, 7th in the betting when it all started. I can't remember the last team that would have been like that.
There would have been Mayo, Galway, Kerry, Dublin, Tyrone, Donegal, Derry. Kerry.
Yeah.
Probably would have all been ahead of them. So that puts them ninth.
It would have been around that. I can't.
You're going back to the early 90s to one of the breakthrough Ulster teams.
When it was straight knockout, it would have been more open at that stage. Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been as fancy back then. That's a good question. You know,
it's not a traditional All Ireland win on a build. 0-2, there was foundations there at minor level and different reasons. And
Ulster titles, they'd got their Ulster titles.
They got their Ulster titles, and obviously yourselves and they were the same. And most teams, that Galway team, have obviously a tradition of winning a lot of underage and different things. That's all my team doesn't. I went through the stats for the last 10 years before this season, because Cully Hannah won the All-Ireland Intermediate, and obviously the Armagh Minors got to the final under 8. And there's nothing. There's no club success. Underage success, nothing you can hang your hat on. And it's just it's not traditional in that sense that it's been built. It has been built. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that, but I'm saying there's no form line going back where you're going, right, this is a team in a few years when they matured, they've won. And I'm going to praise the management team. I don't mean to be disrespectful by saying they're getting greater than the sum of all parts, but he's just put together, a panel. And he had boys in there like Kieran Mackin, who it would have raised people's eyebrows, would have been raised to see Kieran Mackin starting for Armagh at the time, right? He wouldn't have been one people like Kieran Mackin will be a future star for Armagh. Kieran Mackin was arguably Armagh's best player over the 3 seasons. That's someone else. Joe McElroy, another boy who people are if they're naming their starting team to start a year, Joe wouldn't have been in many teams, and he turned out to have a brilliant season. So they're seeing things,
And people have lost out. Like Greg McCabe.
Greg McCabe, perfect.
Was one of their main defenders.
He would have been.
And suddenly he's just had to sit on his derriere for most of the season. Yeah, well, certainly the latter half.
And he's been brilliant, Greg. It's not as if Greg lost form. Greg's been excellent. It's just different people. Aidan Nugent didn't get on yesterday. Peter McGrain didn't get on yesterday. And as you say, everyone's happy. No one's complaining or anything. And
Sub-goalkeeper who was... crucial player
all
the last season.
They can't be happy. They're not happy. You're not happy sitting on the bench.
But they're really not being happy
and being willing to throw the toys out of the pram and have a go at your manager.
Yeah.
That's what they're not willing to do. But they are. They're swallowing their own ego for that of the team. And there is no higher thing you can say about a team than that, when you've got players willing to swallow their own ego and take their hurt just for the team.
Yeah. To switch focus then, just before we finish up shortly, Niall, what now for Galway? Because, that's 2 All-Ireland defeats in 3 years. We've all said the talent is there. Pádraig Joyce seemed fairly deflated yesterday, as he would be. And he's he's not an easy man to deflate. He's got that Galway confidence in him. He was deflated. You know, you'd wonder whether he'll go back to the well. And there's a few players there as well now, like Paul Conroy, who looks fitter than a 24-year-old, never mind a 30, whatever age he is. But you kind of fear Galway now. They might lose a little bit of the hunger. I don't know whether I'm speaking as a non-elite athlete here.
Yeah, I don't know, Mikey, to be honest. As Anna says, we talk about an open championship this year. The message in Galway will be we're so close, it's so close. And Conroy, as you mentioned, just majestic. Yes, Johnny Maher was unreal at all the times too. Some of his movement and, break ball win, no, was fantastic. It's a Galway. And again, coming through Ulster's a lot different to coming through Connacht. And again, they can sort of build it up and all. But they had, when you look back on it, right, they'll analyse the final, yes, and they'll be gutted with what happened with some of those shots. But it wasn't an easy year for them with the entries. And they deserve incredible credit to get where they did with so many entries. And they should have finished the job. Being realistic, they missed enough chances to win the match. They should have finished the job. And it would have been one of the most impressive All-Irelands for that, because Joyce has had a disrupted panel the whole season from day dot. So to do what he did and do that against Dublin, and it was just timed so perfectly, and a few things fell in their favour entry wise. But then obviously the early entry, yes, it was such a massive blow for him. What a player for him. And no, I don't think so, Mikey. I don't think it'll take much. Of course it'll take a lot out of him, but I don't think Galway are going anywhere, is what I'm trying to say. And just looking at the team sheet here, what a back seven. Silk and McHugh and boys unbelievable. And we talked about the middle eight earlier. There's no reason why Galway can't win in All-Ireland next year, in all honesty. There's no reason. If Galway play Armagh in All-Ireland semi-final next year, they're not coming out on top. And I'll go back to what I said at the start. These matches, and it'll be the exact same next year. It'll be a ball hitting the post. It'll be a ball that's called for a 45 to midway. Just so tiny, paper-thin margins are deciding championships, which is great. Not when you're on the wrong side of it. And as an Armagh fan, we've been on the wrong side of those narrow margins. But no, and Galway are going nowhere.
Would you agree, Enda?
Yeah, I think so. I think the hurt will be massive. But when you're so close, when the prize is so big, and when all of the things that you're saying is this is a dream, this is a lifelong ambition to win this. And when you are that close in a year that you're probably at 75% strength, 80% strength in terms of your, if you allow that your main players count for a bigger percentage of your overall ability as a team, Galway are probably running at about 75% at the minute. And they will see only reasons why they should have got over the line yesterday. Whenever they review that tape, they will see only reasons why they should have got over the line yesterday. So they'll know that they're close. They will believe in their heart of hearts, as anybody would, that there's no way that they could have as bad a luck next year in terms of injuries, touch wood. And you would love them. You'd love to see that Galway team get full strength. If they're at full strength, they have progressed this year. Without a shadow of a doubt, they have progressed this year. The Dublin win was absolutely massive. So I think they've progressed this year. I think they'll see yesterday only reasons why they should be there, and they'll know that they will be coming back stronger next year as long as they can stave off retirements. But I can't imagine, I can't see any obvious ones there, to be honest. And they've already lost a few this year that couldn't commit, and some might recommit then again next year. So, no, I would think and hope that Galway would be there, and they only need to look at the neighbours over the hedge in terms of keeping coming back for more. But Galway, if we're talking about an open All-Ireland, Galway's going to be probably in your top three teams for it.
Spare a thought for those neighbours over the hedge, because Mayo fans, they really wanted Galway to win that All-Ireland. So your thoughts and prayers there with Mayo people who are
imagine Galway people this morning speaking to Mayo people and trying to feel sorry for themselves that they'd no great luck.
Right, before we finish, and I'm only bringing this up so that people don't think we're forgetting it, because we've just knocked 40 minutes of chat out of that All-Ireland football final and we're scratching the surface of it. There was lots of complaints about the quality of the match, and that, it was a stinker of a final to go to a stinker of a championship. I didn't think it was a stinker of a final, and I didn't think it was a stinker of a championship. But Niall, what are your thoughts on such statements today? I can imagine your thoughts on them.
I tell you, it's breaking my heart. I don't think I can enjoy this All-Ireland now. I just
It wasn't aesthetically pleasing enough.
Like. Yeah, listen, the first half was horrible. Like, there's no.
First 15 minutes was score for score.
It went into a pack. I don't know why anyone was expecting anything different. It's high quality stuff, just played sort of so safe, and it was always going to go that way. Like, I don't know what anyone else was expecting. Like, one's talking about, especially going into the carry match, Armagh should revolutionize and start pumping balls in and go 15. I'm like, well, they've worked on this for years, perfecting this, and you want them to start playing a different way a couple of days out.
Oh, I thought all that chat was nuts.
It is. It's just bewildering. Like, but listen. As a match, it's not going to be memorable. As an Armagh fan, it's the greatest final I've ever seen in 22 years.
And was it a final in a championship that's just grist for Jim Gavin's mill, do you think? Or how would you view it?
Funny, Eamon Fitzmaurice was out. Mr. FRC, we're calling him now, because every time he's on the show, we end up getting him talking about FRC. But whenever he walked in yesterday, I just laughed. I said, geez, you're happy that final there, because now you are going to get carte blanche. You say, you want a rugby ball used? Yes, good idea. Let's use that. It'll change things up a wee bit. So it cracks me up a wee bit. We are desperate. Like, I sort of have noted this over a couple of years now, and every year then it just gets funnier because there's something you look out for. The amount of times, weekends during the year, that somebody will say, oh, the championship needed that match there. And then next weekend goes past and we get a really cracking game. Oh, that match there, that's the championship needed that. And so we've got, if we go back and you actually look at all the fixtures, every single weekend, there's some cracking games, brilliant games. There's classic games. Earlier this year, we have the memory of a goldfish in terms of our competition. And then we get to the final, we want a big razzmatazz. There's loads of poor sporting finals, but they bring their own atmosphere. The atmosphere yesterday was spine tingling, like just the start of the game and everyone else. So as an occasion, it was still brilliant. Was it brilliant fair? I don't think so. In terms of quality, I think there was a tension and a nervousness across both teams, which is completely understandable because they were both such long time without.
But historically, finals in football, hurling, most sports, finals are usually not that good because teams are nervy and the cost of losing is almost bigger than the reward.
We are buggers for self, sort of wringing our wrists at the state of things. The tactics of the game, it has been decided through results and through tons of analysis. The correct way to play the game most effectively now to try and maximize your chance of a result is with an overall defensive structure. You may choose some kickouts. You may try and keep a few more men up. You may try and work more in the counterattack. You can alter your shapes or how many men you push forward when you're attacking. But the general base of everything is get men behind the ball. That debate for me is now over, and it has ended up with a game that too often I think we end up with a poorer game than maybe what we might have if it was of a more traditional look, shall we say. For example, if those two teams went man against man across that pitch yesterday, I think the result would have been every bit as tight. But, oh my God, it would have been phenomenal. I think the skill level, the fitness level, the ability of our modern players, it is stunning. I think the game is a tweak or two away from being its greatest ever era, and that's genuinely so. And the fact even that Dublin have come back into the pack and that Kerry haven't unearthed another golden generation, I think it's exceptionally even. I think if we can break the shackles of the blanket defences, I think the game will take off. But don't expect the managers to do it, because, as I said, the most effective way to get results at the minute is with a blanket, is with dropping men and filling your 45-yard line to your goal to close down the shooting areas. And we got the final in yesterday. That game brings about a cagey opening, building up tense, and then it opens up in a bit of a gung-ho finish.
As Enda said in his column on Sunday, his excellent column, it's about knowing the difference between plaudits and results. And for, that's the truest statement of the whole.
If any team knows that, it's Armagh.
Exactly.
Well, look, I'm wearing orange today in honour of Armagh because I want to be an honorary Ulster. And I'll leave you with this. Podcaster Lee Costello pointed this out on Twitter or X last night. Every All-Ireland title football in 2020. Football has gone to Ulster, Junior Club Cavan, Intermediate Club Armagh, Senior Club Derry, County Minor Derry, County Under 21 Tyrone, Sigerson Ulster, Hogan Cup went to Tyrone, Tottenham Cup went to Down, and Sam Maguire went to Armagh. So the rest of them.
They says Damon Fitzmaurice. I said that Damon Fitzmaurice yesterday, and I said, so that basically confirms the death of football, does it? I said on the show last night, I says, oh, Eamon said to me, oh, the FRC will soon put a stop to that.
Yeah, that's it. No more of these cups going north, huh? Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much to Enda and to Niall. That's the end of the men's GA podcast for the year, but Marie and Orla will be along with a couple more camogie extras as the season comes to a close. I'm double jobbing. I'm presenting the Olympics podcast, which is a daily affair during the games. So please do find that and follow it and tell me I'm brilliant. That'd be very nice. But until 2025 rolls around and Armagh start touring the country with Sam Maguire in front of their lovely bus, we will leave it at that. Thank you, Enda. Thank you, Niall. And thank you to Rory. And thank you to Jackie and all the pundits over the course of the season. And we'll be back again soon. So good luck. Goodbye. Thank you.